halacha kuf yud ches. Okay, there's some interesting things. Hanoisin yain lemisha iskoy binoshim. It sounds a little strange. A person who deals with women. A person who deals.
A merchant?
You mean? I guess so. Yeah, it could be. You're in a business where you deal with. So maybe you're a Rebbe. The Gemara talks about. The Gemara, if you're a first grade Rebbe. That's right. Any business, any type of occupation where you're always in contact with women, even a first grade Rebbe, who comes to pick up the kids? Everything Gemara says, the mothers, the Ravik Gemara said, a bachor, someone who's not married should not be a first grade, not be a Rebbe for little children. Why not? So you would think, in today's crazy world, the first thing that you think is because someone who's not married. And the children will be a pedophile. That's what you would think, right? The Gemara doesn't talk about that. The Gemara says, no, that's not the reason. Because who comes to pick up the kids? The mothers.
The nanny.
No, not the, maybe the nannies also. The mothers come, they come all dressed up, pick up the kids, and the Rebbe who's not married every single day has an issue. The mothers, it can lead Lidei Avera. You're 100% right, a married man, but the Gemara is hoping that he has pas pasala. He has a wife. Someone told me very good reason. Someone said, what's the worst thing, what's considered in this society to be the worst thing? To be alone. It's not true. There's something worse. I think Mayor told us to me. Where's Mayor? It's not here. There's something worse than being alone. It's being married and alone. It's the Marillus. So what you said is very true. Just because you marry, you have no problem with the Yitzhahara. It means nothing. But the Gemara is assuming that a person doesn't have that problem. He's not alone. So then it's not as much as an issue. But in the Hanami, we know today that obviously it doesn't mean much. Okay, halacha kuf yud ches. Hanoisin yayin lemisha iskoy b'nashim. A person that gives wine to a person. You give wine. One of you really is really a metaphor. So a person who deals with women. So hareze misayeya oivrei aveir. If he is in a situation where he has to be on top, on his best, top of his game, to protect himself from the yetzahara, and you give him yayin, which will loosen him up and break down his barriers, his line of defense against the Yetzirah, you're doing for him a very great harm. A person that's in a situation where there is a very strong Yetzirah needs to protect himself. And by taking away his protection and making it even more difficult for him, this is called Misayeya. You are assisting a person to do an Avera. Next. From the two vowels, only one. There's only one. One is a chelik alf. That's called the meselo every aver. Next, ki hu mamshich es adam li aver, because the yain will cause the person to be drawn after to do the avera. Avol page kuf yud gimel. Page kuf yud gimel. Halacha kuf yud ches avol bat. Hanoisin yain lunisha mitzta'er. A person who is in pain. The eino yochol lilmod ule hispalel de kavana bebnei tsaaroi due to his pain, uche she mashkehu, and when you give him a little bit to drink, oz misyasheves daitoyolov, this someach, it opens up his mind and brings him happiness. Al zenemar hamisameach elokim vaanoshim yayin, wine is something which gives joy to man. So in other words,
that's to Hashem and man.
Amesameach Elokim va'anoshim brings joy to Hashem. Yain is something which brings joy to Hashem. It means because now he can daven. That's what it says. He says over here, the person who's tzar, he cannot learn, he cannot daven, he cannot properly serve Hashem. And by you giving him yain, you open up his mind. Now he can daven and learn. So you bring joy to Hashem. In other words, what is he teaching us? He's teaching us that yain is a tool. This is really a mashal for everything in this world. Technology. Yayin is nothing more than a tool to get you where you want to go. If you want to do an Avera, Yayin will get you there very quickly. If you want to do a mitzvah, Yayin will get you there. It's a mashal for technology. You know, when you have a telephone, So a telephone is a tool to learn Torah, a tool to do mitzvahs, and it's also a great tool to speak Lashon Hara. It's also a great tool to do harm. The internet, it's not to be believed. I don't have to tell you the good and the bad. The kedusha that you can achieve through the internet is not to be believed. I mean, Sacheni, the Chorban, that's to be believed. that is even more lethal. But Yayin is nothing more than a mashal for every blessing that Hashem has given us in this world. It can be used both ways. Yayin is affects the mind. It's a tool, and you have to direct the mind. It loosens the mind. Why do you want to loosen the mind? Chazal tells us that at a cemetery funeral, they would serve, by Beis Ovel, they would serve 10 cups of wine. Can you imagine that? 10 cups of strong wine would be served at a mourner's home to the Avela. Not 4 cups, 10 cups. Why? To comfort the mourners.
To dull the pain.
They're in the state of tsar, and giving them yayin, if they want to be in a state of comfort, it will help them get there. Mitzad sheni, if a person wants to enjoy himself, wants to lighten up, and be oisek in divrei leitzanus, and in promiscuity, yayin will break down all the barriers and get you there very quickly. It's nothing more than a tool which loosens the mind and gets you where you want to go. And you have to act responsibly when you deal with these things. And that's life. Every single thing that we have in our possession is either a tool for good or a tool for bad. It's all a matter of how you use it. Yeah.
You mentioned drink a little bit more. So you mentioned like a Rebbe or someone who's learning. He would open up.
Nichnas yayin yetzei soid. Right. So that's what they say. They say years ago, there were a lot of people that would drink on Purim. And when they would drink on Purim, well, that's another thing. They drink on Purim, they would loosen up. Pearls of wisdom would come out of their mouths. The whole year, people are very private. They hold themselves back. They loosen them up. Kedusha, Yerushalayim, Chochma, not to be believed. Unfortunately, in our generation, when you loosen up a yeshiva bachar, you don't want to know what's going to come out of his mouth.
He's loose.
Right?
He's loose.
So today, the approach is, don't try to imitate the previous generations. Cut your losses.
When you get the Misa, they used to give the one supposed to, the guilty one, he's supposed to give wine. And I think his father, because it loosens up, he should get him mixed up, should be loose. And
we say L'chaim, because they would give yayin to new yayin le'oivet. Right? They give yayin to mourners, and they give yayin to people on death row. When people were put to death, they gave a potion of yayin to loosen their mind. Yayin is nothing more than a tool.
They should be aware of what's going on. They should not be aware.
I don't know exactly. It could be that a person when he's about to die, maybe he's trying to do teshuva. And it's a very important moment right before a person leaves. Chazal say that it's critical that a person should be in the right frame of mind. And if the fear of death is so intense, it will prevent him from putting himself in the proper frame of mind to do teshuva. So he leaves this world with kapara, and they give him yayin to loosen him up, to take away a little bit the fear of death, in order that he can properly put himself in a frame of mind that's correct before he leaves this world. Okay, all we have to know is that yayin, when we were children, we learned that yayin is for one thing only. It makes you happy. You see people that drink wine, they get drunk, they get happy, they get giddy, and they make jokes, and they start dancing, they do funny things. That's not correct. That's not what yayin is. Yayin is a tool. It is something which loosens the mind, and now you have to direct your thoughts in a frame of mind, in a mood, and an emotion that is appropriate for the setting. If it's a sad moment, yayin will help you express the sadness. If it's a happy moment, Yain will help you express the happiness. Yain is not something which makes you happy. It's not a drug. It's not a drug. They talk about a euphoria. Oh, you take this drug and you're happy. That's not what yain is. It's just a tool. And then you have to apply yourself to the situation. And like we said, it's a mashal for all of the gifts that Hashem has blessed us in this generation, all the different forms of technology. It's very foolish when you hear people say, "Oh, it's a waste of time, and it's aser chadar asher min haTorah." It all. I mean, look, there are things that are. I once have a big mechanich whose yeshiva was really, really destroyed because of social media, because of they had a student, one rotten apple. They took in a student. They shouldn't really have taken in the student. Good, the school, a certain yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, really, really, for many, many years, good Talmidim. And for some reason, they took in a student one year that wasn't ay, ay, ay. So the one student went and did some very, very bad things. He left the yeshiva grounds and got involved in some really, really bad things. So someone, they had a smartphone, took a picture, put it on his Facebook page. Someone shared it, liked it. Before you turn around, it went viral. This is what this yeshiva, this student is doing from this yeshiva. Guess what happened? Next year, no one wanted to go to that yeshiva. All the parents said, "I'm going to send my kid to this yeshiva." It's not a joke, because you know what happened? Because the people make parnasa. There are a whole bunch of rabbeim and eretz people in Eretz Yisrael. This is the whole parnasa. They give everything. And they don't make a lot of money either. Okay, maybe, I don't know. They don't make, this is the whole parnasa. And they all got a major cut in salary. And the yeshiva overnight went down the drain because of social media. And the person who was involved, he said to me, "It's a curse. Facebook is a curse." He said it to me. "It's a curse. It destroyed the whole yeshiva because of one rotten apple. And it really, really, truly did not reflect the yeshiva." It happens. You know what happens? People have free will and they do strange things. They break the rules. The whole yeshiva has sub because of the whole yeshiva has to sub because of one rotten apple. Unfortunately, that's the koyach of social media. On the other hand, social media can bring, something good happens, if there's a Kiddush Hashem, thousands of times there have been events that are incredible things that are Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Efer Hesia, that have gone viral all over the world, and people have said, "Mika Amcha Yisrael." Millions, even billions of people all over the world see different things that Jews do. So, it's a double-edged sword. It's a tool which is unreal in both good and bad. It's the yayin. It's really the modern day equivalent of yayin. Yeah. Are they allowed to drink yayin? Okay, you can't do the avoida. It's interesting. Interesting that yayin v'sheicha al teisht. Also, it gives you a whole new understanding of nadav aviyu. In this parsha, achare mois shnei bnei aron. What were they thinking? Nadav aviyu, they drank yayin and they went to the kodesh hakodashim. So, if you look at the parsha in a very naive understanding, oh, they were giddy. You know, oh, like the way we treat today. Unfortunately, the way we treat a shul. Do we have any Yiras Haroimus for Beis HaKnesses? Zero. Don't tell me we have any Yiras. And that's why today it's called a shtibel, it's a shul, it's a room. What does a shtibel mean in English? A room. Why do we call it a room? Why don't we have a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash? If you had a Beis HaKnesses, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to talk, you're not allowed to eat, you walk in, Yiras Haroimus. What?
Not even allowed to learn.
Not even allowed to learn the Beis HaKnesses. Exactly. Yiras Haroimus. There's a whole Shulchan Aruch. What you're allowed, what you're not allowed to do. And we are in violation of every single halacha 10 times over. Whether we like it or not. And therefore, the best thing today is don't build real Batei Kinesios, Batei Midrashos. You build nice rooms that look like batei midrash, batei kinesios, but it's just like a Hollywood scene. When you touch the walls, it's plastic. Okay, it's not the real thing. We make a t'nai that there's no kedusha, and we don't want there to be kedusha because we know that there's no way in the world we can adhere to the halacha, the standards of what a real Beis HaKnesses, a real Beis HaMedrash deserves. And you know what's so tragic? Because there is one place that has the real kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses, and it's literally a zoo. And that is the Kosel HaMaravi. The Kosel HaMaravi is a bona fide Beis HaKnesses. No ands, if, or buts. Every halacha that it says in Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam applies to the plaza, the Kosel HaMaravi, the plaza, at least when you get past the Lubavitcher stand. At least when you get past the Amaka stand, when you come into that area over there, that's Mamish Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to talk, you're not allowed to, you Mamish, not allowed to do, you're not allowed to do. And you stand there for 15 minutes and see what goes on. It is not normal. It is just comical. I just sitting there watching what was going on there for 15 minutes. Politicians come with television crews. The guy puts his hand on the wall. And then a soccer team comes with scarves. And they start dancing and jumping. Am Yisrael Chai. And then the Ethiopians come. And then the Chinese come. They look at you. They look at you. And then the Lubavitchers come. And then it's just comical what's going on. There's 6 million people come to visit that little Beis HaKnesses. And I mean, the cameras and it's just, and that's a real Beis HaKnesses. It's a real Beis HaKnesses. We don't have any real Beis HaKnesses there. No one would even dare build a Beis HaKnesses there because we don't have the Kedusha. So going back, so what were they thinking? What was Nadav Aviv thinking when they go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim after they drink wine out of their minds? The answer is they wanted to enhance their ability to connect to Hashem. If you go into the Beis HaKnesses just dry, there's only that much you can do. But if you take some yayin, you loosen your mind, and now when you apply yourself to connect to Hashem, you can go to much, much higher levels. So their cheshbin, their calculation of drinking yayin is 100% on the mark. So why then did they die? Good question. Hashem doesn't want it. What? Hashem said that were they already committed not to do it at that point in time? It seems they were. It seems they knew it was still not good. Why not? But it can be even better. Hashem doesn't want too good. Hashem doesn't want it. Why not? We don't understand. Dvash. If you add dvash into the ketores, the fragrance would be out of this world. So why does Hashem not allow us to add dvash into the ketores? Gzeres akasa. Even though it would indeed enhance the fragrance, gzeres akasav, yayin v'sheichar, it would be a much, much better avodah. See, we're brainwashed. We think if you have yayin v'sheichar, it turns into a simchas Torah Purim spiel. That's how we look at it. We read the parash Achrimos. Oh, you'll drink a l'chaim. You'll have a kiddush club every Shabbos, and then you'll daven. It'll be like simchas Torah and Purim put together. No, that's not what it is. It'll be a ni'ila on steroids. If you would drink yayin before you dive in musaf, you would be holding ni'ila every single morning. You'd be able to reach levels of kedusha unimaginable. So why does Hashem say, I don't want this? I don't want this. That's not what I created the world for. I created the world for you to achieve holiness without any additives, supplements, drugs and enhancements, and steroids. Be normal. Be normal and serve Hashem the best that you can, even if it's not going to be ay, ay, ay. You're not going to be an A-plus student. Be normal. Hashem does not want yayin v'sheichar. That's a mature way of learning the parashas Achrimos. It's not don't drink yayin v'sheichar because it's Purim and Simchas Torah put together. No. Yayin v'sheichar is ni'ila, Yom HaKippurim. And Hashem says, I don't want that. And Would he learn that? And that's what he's saying over here. Yayin is a very dangerous sort. Now let's go to the next halach. Kof Yitzes is very, very, this is an amazing thing he's saying now. Kof Yitzes, everything is amazing. Go one thing to the next. Yesh goizel ve'enoy nire. There's a person who is a gazlan and it's not, cannot be seen. Now that's an oxymoron. Why is an oxymoron to say such a thing? Because gezela by definition means out in the open. Everyone sees what you're doing. Gineva is einoy nira. That's the difference between a ganav. You do it secretly. And if you're a ganav, that's why you have to pay dalad vehei, kefal. If you steal something secretly and you're caught, you got to pay double. Why? Because the avera is that much greater. You're not afraid of Hashem. It's one thing that you're afraid of man, but by stealing secretly, you think Hashem is not watching, so you have to pay double. You steal out in the open, so then I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of Hashem. You're at least honest with yourself. There's a degree of honesty in stealing out in the open. It's a crime. Don't kid yourself. It's a crime. It's punishment. But you only have to pay what you have stolen. If you steal secretly, it's more severe because you're basically making a statement, Hashem does not see what I am doing. Just like I'm doing it secretly, man should not see what I'm doing. Hashem doesn't see what I'm doing. You have to pay kefal. So by definition, gineva means to steal secretly. Gezela means to steal out in the open. Here he says something which is a contradiction. Yesh goizel, you can steal in the open, but the einoy nira, no one sees. And what is this? Ze hador im b'nei adam the einoy ro'ah b'shelohem, an ayin ro'ah. Now this is a mystical concept. You look at someone and you're jealous. You evil eye. You don't in Yiddish fargin. I don't fargin you. And you live with them, you go to shul, they make a simcha, and you look at their family, how they're dressed, all the things that they have, the possessions, they count their money, or your next door neighbor, you look at his car, and you look at this, you look at that. What's in your business? And you say, oh, shalom aleichem, wow, mazel tov, this, that. You're a phony. So out in the open, and then you're looking at them, and by looking at them, you're eyeing raw, Chazal tell us, we have no idea what this means. It has an effect. If you look at someone else's property with an evil eye, with a degree of jealousy, a degree of I don't know, a better word, of chemda, I wish I had this for myself. Why does he deserve this? Why does he deserve this? It has an effect. It has an effect in Shemayim. We don't know how this works. There's a trickle-down effect where the day will come when these possessions will be taken away from your neighbor. So you're causing him a loss out in the open. You're looking at him. It's benigle. It's nira. I'm out in the open. I'm looking at you. And I'm causing you a loss. It's a gazlan. You're called a gazlan. The eda nira. No one sees it. How can I be a gazlan? That's right. I'm saying mazel tov. And I put on a make-believe smile. I say, I'm so jealous of you, you can't even imagine. I can't even live with myself. But no, I'm your neighbor, I don't have a choice. I have no choice, I have to say to you, mazel tov. I don't know how this works, but it works. What? Ayin hara, ayin hara, whatever that means. But that's what he says over here in the Sefer Chassidim. Next halacha, haboishes, and this is another very esoteric idea. Haboishes vohemun. This is an amazing statement. This is an incredible thing. Haboishes vohemuna. Nitzmadois. They're a team. They're Siamese twins. Kisha tistalek achas tistalek chaverta. When one departs, so does the other. What does that mean? What is emuna? So on the side here in this parish, I have no clue what he was referring to. He explains having faith in your fellow man. In other words, if you ask me for a loan, I'm going to give you $1,000. Why would I give you $1,000 if I had $1,000 to give you? Why would I give the I trust you. I trust you will pay me back. Let's say you know that your friend has no shame. He'll walk naked in the street. He has no shame in doing an avera barabim. He'll go and he'll tell you a dirty joke. He has no shame. He has no bush. He doesn't care for his dignity. Then you should know Don't trust him. Stay a mile away. Why? What's going to happen if he doesn't pay you back? He's telling us, he's teaching us psychology. I'm lending you $1,000. I come back to you a year later. Can you please pay me back the $1,000? I'm sorry. I'm not giving it back to you. I don't care. What do you mean, care? I lend you $1,000. A word is a word. Not mine. I don't care. I'm not giving you the money. That is a lack of shame. If a person has a sense of shame, he's teaching us psychology. Then I gave you my word. I borrowed money. I promised I will pay you back. It's shameful for me not to be true to my word. How was I supposed to know this person is not going to keep his word? The telltale signs of a person not being honest, and Muni here means honesty, is if he has no shame. If he's one of the midas of Klal Yisrael is there by Shonim. By Shonim, Goyim Lechasadim, and what are the three? Rachmanim. Rachmanim, Baishanim, Goyim Lechasadim. A person does not have a sense of busha, being caught doing something that's not proper. It's shameful. That means he's not an honest person. Because honesty is rooted in having a sense of shame. Fascinating. Who would ever imagine such a thing? Okay, whoever imagines thing is, and he's teaching us this insight. Haboishes vohemuna. You have to go pay $100,000 to get a PhD to figure this out. This to tell you, to teach you this insight into the human condition.
But it's sort of intimated in what in the source that is said about Baishanim and Gom Lechasanim, they go together also.
But not necessarily. After we have this, then we can go back and appreciate that they're interrelated. But I never would ever put these two together. You have a guy who has no shame. Okay, there are certain people like that. They have no shame. They don't care. Like, and they come. They want to borrow money. So my high luchot of high luchot. There are people that have integrity. They have integrity. My word is my word. I signed the dotted line. My word is my word. You'll get your money back. I'll do what I tell you. You tell me to be here, I'll be here. And just because I do averos, I do terrible averos, that's how I would think. He's telling us, watch out. It's not so. They're two parts of one whole. That's shame. So he has a Yetzirah. Everyone has a Yetzirah to some degree. Okay? But there are certain things that are shameful, and you don't do before Hesia.
Right.
Okay, like you don't mechal people mechal Shabbos. When the rabbi walks by, you don't take out a cigarette and blow good Shabbos, rabbi, and blow the smoke in his face.
You hide the cigarette.
You don't do that. When the rabbi passes by, there's a certain sense of shame. You want mechal Shabbos, mechal Shabbos. I know people like this. I know people in their home. I have no doubt about it. They were mechal Shabbos. There's no question about it. I saw my own eyes. But when it came to shul, you would never ever know. You would never know. They were very dignified. They don't want to be known as a mechal Shabbos.
It's a level.
It's a very big level. It's a very chashuv level.
You give them an aliyah. That's
that also. That's right. That's right. Nogei l'chol ma'isa. But he's telling us something much more insightful. Besides getting an aliyah, you need a good, honest man. I need someone I can trust. I have a job. I have a mission. Can I trust him? If he has a sense of shame, yes. If he doesn't have a sense of shame, don't. There too, that's his insight into the human condition.
You say,
panim legan. That's right. Bush, it's a lot to be said. A lot to be said about Bush. I'll tell you a story which really bothers me a lot. This story, very when I with this. This has many applications, this story. Okay, we're not going to name any names, even though the person who said the story, he's so proud of this, he says over the story 100 times. It's a very disturbing story. You tell me what you think of the story. There was a yeshiva. I don't know where the yeshiva. I have no idea where it is. It's somewhere in New York, somewhere in the tri-state area. I'm assuming. And the boys there, whatever the boys there are, a different type of category of boys there. Boys are boys, okay? Okay? All boys are boys. And the yeshiva works very hard on working on the boys, and they invite a Rosh Hashiva. They invite every month a visiting Rosh Hashiva to give the boys a shiur. And the boys like to play games with visiting Rosh Hashiva, no matter who he is. So this was what this class, an incredible story. Well, I mean, a very disturbing story. And the person who says over the story has no shame in saying over the story. And they invited a Rosh Hashiva, and the boy, they're learning Masechta Kedushin. So they put up one of the boys to ask the visiting Rosh Hashiva a question. What's the question? They're learning about getting married. When you get married, there are three ways to get married. Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Okay? Bia we don't do. Rav Mangir Aman de Mekadesh. Rav gave Malkus and anyone that was Mekadesh with Bia. Okay, but that's it. Kesef, do you have to give the Isha the Kesef yourself? No. You don't have to. You can make a Shliach. I make a Shliach to give the Isha the Kesef. Can you make a person a shliach to be mekadesh with shtar? Of course, we don't do it today. Shtar, it's too complicated to do mekadesh shtar. So the boys asked the Rosh Hashiva, Rebbe. They put up a board. Asked the Rosh after. They learned himself to Rosh Rebbe. Can you be memane a shliach to be mekadesh for you in Isha with a beer? Okay. This is what the boy asked. This is what the boy and the boys got together. This is true. They got together and they asked the visiting Rosh Hashiva this question.
What did the question?
Can you appoint an agent that the agent should be mekadesh for you in Isha through the kinyan bia? Okay, a shliach. So the first Rosh Hashiva heard this question. He exploded. He blew his head off. Mamish, he went berserk. This is what a high school boy is? Okay, out of your mind? He mamashly went berserk. And the boys wanted him. The boys, they did this. They set him up to explode. So, and they did this a few today. And everyone basically exploded at different levels. But some were more refined. So one person came, they asked him the question, didn't blink. And he told him of Reb Chaim. He's a beautiful Reb Chaim. The Tak asked this question. Reb Chaim, it was Reb Chaim. Gan so long, the whole lung is behind him. Why not? There's a whole lung is behind it. Whole lung is. And he answered the question with the lung is of why you can't do it. Like Mamish, the question, what bracha do you make on water? Make a shahakol. He told them no lungs. Shir was over, whatever. And then the boys go over to this. You're our new hero. You're a hero. You are our hero that we ask you this question. These are high school kids. These are not dealing with adults, dealing with children, okay? You're our hero. That you didn't explode, we set you up, and you're our hero. So this person who was their hero was so proud that he's their hero because he didn't explode and he accepted it. What? This is a story. Now, I'm listening to this whole thing. And I'm thinking to myself, like, well, who's right? So, listen, I'm not in the world of chinuch, but I'm definitely much, much closer from the way I've been brought up. Is, I don't know if you should explode and take out a shotgun and kill everyone. I'm not going that far. You know, there's Torah, there's Rav Taka, there's Rav Chaim, the biggest of the big that. It deals with this question and goes to the lamedus, but in Yadus, there's something called v'yisem kedoshim. And if this is what you do to a person comes to give a shir in a yeshiva, and this is what you put up someone to ask a Rosh Hashiva, there's something really wrong here. Okay, that is the way I was brought up. Okay, I can't talk. You can't generalize. Different strokes for different folks. Okay, Klal Yisrael is very big, and there are many different ways of looking at life. I'm not in the world of chinuch. I don't know. All I can tell you is the way I was brought up is if there's something wrong, and it's something that has to be addressed, and it's not something that. If you don't want to blink an eye and say there's Reb Chaim and you give the answer and you give the answer, fine. But it's not something to go around bragging about that I'm their hero because I went and I gave them the answer. He'll tell him, you know, everyone is different. I know everyone is different. But there's also something in Yados called V'yisem Kidoshim Leilokei. He said every single day in Kriyashim. V'yisem Kidoshim Leilokei. Right? That's how I feel. I can't speak to anyone over here. But to me, that is an element of busha. That's how I feel. I feel that is something where to do something like this means you have no busha. To brag that you're the hero, yeah. You want to give him the answer. You shots up the kids and you say, this is the answer of Chaim. Okay, that's also maybe proper. I don't know what's proper. I really don't know what's proper. But to go brag and repeat the story 100 times, tell everyone to bring, I feel personally there's something lacking in busha. Maybe I'm wrong. And then when you read this over here, and it says over here, someone who has no busha, has no emuna, and he tells you, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, I know, listen, I know the way it is. I've been there, I've been done there, I've seen this and done that. Trust me. So I would think, you have no busha, fine. But I trust you. You're a great guy. You're the best of the best. I do trust you. This is very disturbing to me, because we find today there's definitely a problem with busha, and I personally never made this connection that just because of a problem with busha, there should be a problem with emuna. That you put your kids in the yeshiva, you trust the rebbeim. I'm giving you precious gems, I'm giving you precious material, and you're gonna nurture, you're gonna develop these kids. Can I trust you? Can I trust this yeshiva?
The truth is, the Rebbe did what he should.
I don't want to get into
it. No.
Everyone will give you a different. Everyone will give you a different take on this.
By not exploding, he did the right thing. Right. However, if they're answering it calmly, then
right. It could be some of the other Rebbeim did that. It could be some of the other people did that. But this was nothing. This was like, yeah, it's a great question. I have the same question. And you're bragging about this? You're the hero for these children? I don't know. It's just something which is unsettling with me. But on the other hand, you have to learn to appreciate in life, you know, different strokes for different folks. So, you know.
These are the points that we're
asking
questions.
Right, okay, in Echanami, but this is the world. Yeah, this is the world. That you can't, because Klal Yisrael Baruch Hashem is very big, and there are all different types of people. You can't generalize. I'm not in the world. I'm not coming chashal to pass judgment. I'm saying there is something called busha. Where do you draw the line? Where how far do you go? I mean, they have all those things with the gender, the gays and lesbians, and like, how far do you go? There are issues, halachic issues, fine, but there's also busha. There's also busha. So even though maybe halachically people there are reasons why things have to be done. Government, laws, this, that, all the 100 million truths, and fine, I got it. But don't forget, there's something Klal Yisrael are in a madrega of Rachmanim, Goyim Lechasadim, and Baishanim. There's something called Busha. And now, it just triggered me personally, is he makes this connection. The Mitzumadas. Busha and Emuna are Mitzumadas. Also, by the way, I told you this perish that only the perish Kadman gives. I'm not so sure that's the only interpretation of what the Sefer Chassidim means. He's very esoteric. He says these two things are mitzumados, emuna and busha. When I first read this, I says, what in the world does this mean? So I started thinking it means that a person doesn't have a moon in Hashem. I started to grappling. I look at the parish card, what it means. If you want to give him money, if you want to go lend the guy money, don't trust him. He won't give you back the money because he's not a trustworthy person. It has nothing to do with God. Okay, that's what it says in the parish card. That's what it says on Sarvah. It's very likely if you'll dig deeper into the commentators, you'll go do a search on the Itzah Chachma where this is cited, the Sefer Chassidim is cited. You'll certainly find other Mepharshim that have extracted this and have developed it in a very different way, which may have a whole new meaning, of what it means. But it is something which definitely kedai to learn. Okay, let's take a short break. When we're talking about this topic, we have a parasha of Kisi Hadam. In this week's parasha, I want to talk briefly about the sugya of Kisi Hadam. Not Kisi Hadam, really more Shechita. Sugya of Shechita.
It sounds very much like a Hillel.